I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. Today we recap the week that was and bring you the latest on developments with respect to COVID-19 and how the markets and economic activity are being impacted, plus a preview of what you can expect in the week ahead. Joining me here on the line this morning for the conversation is Associate Equity Strategist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Matt Tormey. So, Matt, good morning. Welcome back to you, and thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Dan, and thanks for having me.
So, Matt, as we all know, it's been a very eventful week with further developments as it pertains to COVID-19, and they are continuing to be market-moving, and we're continuing to see evidence of the impacts of COVID in economic data. We'll get to that in a few moments. But maybe to set the groundwork for our conversation today, can you begin by recapping for us the notable developments over the past few days as it pertains to COVID-19?
Of course. And yeah, just before we start, I want to say that I hope all of our listeners are healthy and staying safe. This isn't an easy time for everyone, and there are a number of holidays going on right now and coming up, so I hope everyone still has the opportunity to connect with friends and family. So this was definitely a shorter week than usual, but as we've all been finding out, the market's really been giving us enough news in just a few days that could normally take place over the course of a month. So there's still plenty to recap as it pertains to COVID-19. So on Monday, we received a mix of positive and negative developments. So to start on the positive side, we saw some encouraging news coming out of Europe. Italy reported its lowest rate of new infections in about 3 weeks. Spain in over 2 weeks, and Germany in just about 6 days. And for the first time, in New York, we saw deaths essentially flat for a second straight day, which was an encouraging sign for a city that many are considering the epicenter here in the U.S. And on Sunday night, President Trump gave a press conference that actually came off with a pretty more optimistic tone, as he suggested, and I'll quote, "We're beginning to see light at the end of the tunnel." However, we did receive some negative news as well. Health officials did warn that this week would be the most difficult in the U.S., and U.K. Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who had previously been admitted to the hospital on Sunday, was moved to the intensive care unit due to complications with COVID-19, which is a pretty big deal given Boris's stature as a major world leader. But now turning over to Tuesday, there wasn't a lot more of incremental COVID-19 news, but we did see New York record its highest single-day death toll. But more positively, the state did see a decline in new cases and intensive care unit admissions, which should hopefully provide some relief for the hospital system. And just wrapping up with what happened on Wednesday, although we again did see New York record its highest single-day death toll, topping the previous day's record, and on Wednesday we also did see the highest single-day death toll in the U.S., we did get more positive developments, which included Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is a member of President Trump's COVID-19 task force. He said that the battle against the virus could start as early as next week, and we also heard President Trump say that he anticipates the country reopening sooner rather than later. And then turning over to China, we did see Wuhan yesterday officially end its coronavirus lockdown, and the world's going to be keeping an eye on developments out of Wuhan because we want to see if that the measures that they put into place were effective and hopefully in order to prevent a second outbreak, which many fear could potentially happen. And just to quickly note and give an update on where we stand this morning, we are now at about 1.5 million global confirmed cases and 432,000 here in the U.S. So as you can see, Dan, a lot of COVID-19 headlines this week were focused on case and death counts throughout the world, and primarily for the U.S., there were glimmers of hope that the potential bending of the curve in New York could be a sign that containment measures are indeed working.
Well, Matt, that was a very comprehensive recap, and thank you for bringing us up to speed on the current scope and scale of the global outbreak of COVID-19. And as you alluded to, a mix of headlines, but it was encouraging to see some positive developments this week, not only here at home, but abroad as well. Maybe you can spend a few moments walking us through how the market, specifically here in the U.S., have been responding to the developments you just shared with us.
Yeah, so unlike prior weeks, markets really have been responding quite strongly to these developments, with the S&P 500 up already about 10.5% this week and now up 23% from the March 23rd low. And we think that the strong performance this week, it really reflects the fact that investors are beginning to look through headline case numbers and are now instead turning their attention to science that the spread of the pandemic is being brought under control.
Anything notable this week on the economic data front? I know we've been beginning over the past couple of weeks, notably with employment figures, been experiencing some impacts of COVID-19 to the U.S. labor market. Anything on that front you can share with us from this past week? And I know we heard from the Fed as well.
So yeah, it was a little bit of a shorter week so far, but there were a few economic releases that we were monitoring. So on Tuesday, we saw the jobs opening report for February, and essentially, although job openings declined and the overall report was consistent with strong labor market conditions during the time of the survey, it doesn't give us really too much insight on the outlook because the data was actually collected before major coronavirus developments began to take place. Yesterday, we did see that the Fed released the minutes from their March 15th FOMC meeting, and this confirmed what most investors were thinking, that the Fed believed the outlook for the economy had sharply deteriorated and that this justifies maintaining rates at the zero lower bound until the economy is able to weather more recent events. So more importantly, though, we're going to see this morning around 10 a.m., Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is actually giving a speech this morning, and investors are going to be paying attention to any forward-looking guidance that he may be able to provide. And just to quickly turn over to politics, yesterday we also saw that Bernie Sanders ended his campaign for the Democratic nomination, which leaves Joe Biden as the presumptive nominee. And finally, just this morning, we received March PPI data, which showed that inflation fell just slightly while expectations were for a larger decline. And we also this morning received the weekly jobless claims numbers for last week, which totaled 6.6 million versus the 5 to 5.5 million that was expected, which marks the third straight week of massive filings.
Okay, so a lot of key developments there. The Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, his presentation this morning is something we'll keep an eye out for and see if it moves markets at all. I know we heard from the Fed just a short while ago with some additional stimulus measures that they'll be implementing, and we did receive some clarity on the campaign trail as well. Maybe looking ahead to next week, Matt, what's taking place in particular that you'll be keeping an eye out for and that our listeners should be mindful of?
Yeah, so on the economic calendar coming up, on Friday, we're going to receive some insights on inflation with the U.S. CPI data coming out for March. Next Wednesday, we're going to get a look at how U.S. retail sales are holding up. And similar today, next Thursday, we'll be keeping a close eye on initial jobless claims numbers and the potential effects the larger number of claims will have on the U.S. labor market. And next week's also really a big week because the first quarter earnings season officially will kick off. So starting Tuesday, we're going to begin to hear from the big banks such as J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Citi, and Bank of America. And a few healthcare companies we'll be keeping an eye on include Johnson & Johnson and Abbott Labs. However, this first quarter earnings season, it's going to look a lot different relative to recent memory in light of the coronavirus pandemic. And Dan, if I could describe the theme for this first quarter earnings season in one word, it would be uncertainty. And we've already started to see this become evident because among the early reporters, about two-thirds of these companies either cut, withdrew, or were unable to provide forward-looking guidance. And when looking on a sector-by-sector basis, our team's expecting the staples companies, tech, healthcare, and utilities to fare better than the consumer discretionary, energy, financials, and real estate companies. And overall, it's going to be tough to quantify, but we believe that corporate profits are going to take a hit in the first quarter, and there are a wide range of potential possible outcomes. However, we'll likely see the greatest overall impact of the coronavirus and the shutdown measures that have been put in place taking place really in the second quarter. And just to reiterate and wrap up with our team's outlook for the year, we are currently expecting a 20% decline in earnings versus last year, which should lead to a rather substantial bounce back in 2021, where we're currently expecting growth of 21% in corporate profits.
Well, Matt, thank you very much for setting the table for us for the week ahead. It sounds like it will be quite busy, and as you described, Q1, uncertain, very accurate, so we'll see how that translates into some corporate reporting, and we have some interesting data points on deck next week to keep an eye out for as well. But, Matt, terrific recap this morning, bringing us up to speed on the COVID-19 COVID-19 developments, what we've heard over the past few days, how it's translated to market behavior, and for previewing for us what we can expect in the week ahead. So, Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan, and hope everyone's doing well.
Thank you, Matt, and likewise. And again, we've been joined this morning by Associate Equity Strategist America's Matt Tormey from the UBS Chief Investment Office. As always, do want to highlight that there are many publications available now up on UBS Online Services, many of which that pertain to COVID-19, as well as the economic and market impacts. So if you are a client listening in and would like to receive any of the publications directly, always reach out to your financial advisor. You can also locate the publications up on UBS Online Services. Top of the morning, we'll be taking a holiday hiatus. We will return for you on Monday morning, whichever holiday you're celebrating over the next 3 days. From all of us here at UBS, we wish you a happy, safe weekend, and we'll be back again for you on Monday.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.